We're going to switch things locally now, and joining me on the phone is Democratic State Senator Dom Harmon from Oak Park. He's the President Pro Tem of the Illinois State Senate. Senator, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thanks for having me. If I'd known it was the last show from Tribune Tower, I would have gotten up earlier and driven downtown.
I was trying to, I thought I had that encouragement for everybody, but, yeah, kind of a very interesting day here as, things are partly moved over to our new location. Things are partly still here. Yeah, it's going to be quite a day as we leave Tribune Tower. I wanted to have you on, Senator, about this bill, Senate Bill 336, which basically would allow the use of medical marijuana as an alternative to opioids. And I'm curious, one, because it seems like under the current issue of allowing medical marijuana, we're seeing delays in processing and delays of allowing people to use medical marijuana for treatment.
We are, and fortunately, we were able with this bill to do more than just create a pathway for people who would otherwise be using opioids. Working closely with the state agencies that run the medical cannabis program, we proposed changes that should dramatically streamline that and get patients the medicine that they need much more quickly.
What was there any explanation of what these kind of backlogs were on fingerprint background checks, those kinds of things in the current program?
There were a couple of things that, as every state agency will claim, poor mouth. They said they just didn't have the resources to do it quickly. They did attribute much of the delay to the requirement that people submit fingerprints and go background checks. And the Department of Public Health was quite candid with us. They've almost never turned someone away because of the results of those tests. So at their suggestion, we eliminated that requirement for all participants in the medical cannabis program, those seeking an alternative to opioids, as well as those with one of the 41 articulated conditions that allow participation in the program. We're also allowing people, once they've applied for the regular program, to take the receipt as a provisional permit and go to a dispensary having applied. So instead of waiting 3 or 4 months, they'll be able to participate immediately while their permanent permit is being processed.
Obviously, a lot of concern about opioids and the overdose issue. And this would seem to be, medical marijuana would seem to be basically a kind of a no-brainer given what is going on in the current atmosphere of opioid abuse.
I agree, and I was pleasantly surprised by the reception from my colleagues in the General Assembly. This started a little over a year ago when we had a hearing in the Senate from patients who, using medical cannabis, were able to dramatically reduce or altogether eliminate their use of opioids. So we started down this road, and it's true, the opioid crisis is enormous, but it's also affecting every community in the state and the country. It doesn't respect any artificial dividing lines we erect. It's a problem in the city, in the suburbs, in the exurbs, in rural Illinois. It's a problem for black, brown, and white people. It's a problem for rich people and poor people. It's a problem for Democrats and Republicans. So we had broad support across both caucuses in both chambers, and we're able to put together a really good bill.
Are we as a state doing enough to combat the opioid, I'd say, epidemic?
I'd say not up to this point. No, we have not. But we're starting to, and this isn't the only effort. The Attorney General is pursuing litigation against some of the opioid manufacturers. I think when this story is written, in hindsight, we will see just how pervasive the problem was, and that there will likely be ingredients of profiteering and some reckless disregard for the well-being of the people that are being served.
Well, I mean, when you look at some of the figures, too, like 80% of Illinois drug overdose deaths in 2016, they're opioid-related.
That's right. And opioids kill more people than car crashes. Opioids kill more people than handguns. The statistics are stunning.
What is the status of this bill, by the way?
The bill passed, but the Senate and the House amended it and sent it back where the Senate heard. It is on its way to the governor in the ordinary course of our sending all of our bills from May to governor in June. I believe it will be in his hands shortly.
And do we have any, I mean, and it passed with overwhelming support.
It did, and bipartisan support. We worked very well with the agencies that administer the program, and that participation, I hope, is indicative of the administration's posture, but Governor Rauner has been a reluctant supporter of the medical cannabis program generally. So we're keeping our fingers crossed that he will see, on balance, combating the opioid crisis is more important than any dogmatic concerns about medical cannabis.
Well, and that's kind of why I asked the question, because, I mean, you touched on this. I mean, in efforts in the past to kind of expand the qualifying illnesses that would be that people could get use medical marijuana for treatment, the administration has been very reticent to do that. It's frankly, you know, sometimes by court order that things get covered by it. And there just seems to be that general reluctance on the administration side.
I would agree with that perception. I have not had any conversations directly with the governor. I was very pleased once I began negotiating directly with the Department of Public Health and the Department of Financial and Professional Regulation that they were as open and willing to make bold changes to improve the program. So, again, it's a tough issue for some people. I think it is becoming less and less difficult for the overwhelming majority of my residents. We have not had any backlash. We have one of the best programs in the country for medical cannabis. We really are. We did this well. So I think that this expansion, and it's important that other states where chronic pain is a condition for which one can receive medical cannabis, have seen a significant reduction in opioid use. We don't have that in Illinois. We're not proposing that, but instead, by focusing on an alternative to opioids, we hope to reach a big chunk of the same population.
We're speaking to Democratic State Senator Don Harmon of Oak Park. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin.
Now back to the Tribune's Rick Pearson. It's the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Showcase Studio in historic Tribune Tower on North Michigan Avenue for the last time. Joining me on the phone, Democratic State Senator Don Harmon from Oak Park, the Senate President Pro Tem. Senator, we've talked on this program the last couple of weeks about the end of the spring session in May, adjournment on time, and passage of a budget. And I guess I wanted to ask you, in your view, finally getting a budget and bipartisan agreement on a budget and a budget signed, is that any indication that things may have returned to some normalcy in this state?
I wish it would. The budget we passed was balanced, bipartisan, and boring, but the process which got us to that budget was quite unusual. This was a legislatively driven budget. Democrats and Republicans in the General Assembly said enough is enough. We're going to work together and we're going to reach a compromise. Nobody got everything they wanted, but this is the first time in my 16 years in Springfield that almost everybody voted for the budget. It wasn't a partisan budget. And I think that's an important breakthrough. But, you know, typically a budget is driven by the governor, and the governor's office is much more involved in the crafting of that budget. This was a legislative budget, and I'm proud of the General Assembly for recognizing the need to not drift into the summer again.
But people have described it to me as actually kind of a bottom-up driven budget, that this was a, you know, more of the rank and file driving the process rather than the traditional four legislative leaders and the governor.
Very much so, and it was a byproduct, I think, of the budget process we went through last year, which really was pushed over the finish line by rebellious rank-and-file legislators, particularly House Republican legislators who stood up to the governor and said they were going to negotiate with Democrats to reach an agreement. I would say in this case, the legislative leaders were involved, but were very deferential to the rank-and-file budgeteers and members interested in the budget to put together the broad contours. The leader stepped in and at the end to hammer out the final details. But I'm really proud of the General Assembly. It worked the way it was supposed to work.
I'm curious about basically we have this budget, and it's built in with the revenues from the tax increase that was approved a year ago. And despite that, we still hear Republicans, including Governor Rauner, vilifying this tax increase. I mean, is there a bit of incongruity there?
There is some cognitive dissonance, no doubt. The budget spends every dime of the tax increase. It spends it responsibly. It still leaves many needs unfilled. But I don't know how anyone can say that we could roll back the tax increase and still pay for the services people expect the state to provide. The math just doesn't work. We made some deep cuts in order to get to this balanced budget, but we spent all of that revenue, and we did, again, we spent it responsibly.
One of the things in this budget, too, is basically, I think it's $25 million more for higher education, but yet that doesn't even get us back to where we were pre-budget impasse, and it just seems, you know, the idea of trying to restore higher education is it's going to take a long time.
It is, but it's one of the most critical missions, and the way we budgeted for higher education this year is important. There were not only was it a modest increase for the first time in my memory. We have been cutting higher ed for years, but it was targeted, and there were two programs in particular: the Monetary Award Program, the MAP Grant, which is one of the key ways we get Illinois kids into colleges, the first generation kids who otherwise wouldn't be able to afford college. It's typically been a one-year program that students could renew, but it created a degree of uncertainty. So we've made it a four-year program. Once you qualify, you can expect that you'll be qualified for all 4 years. The second is the new AIM High program, which is in part a merit-based program aimed at keeping Illinois students in Illinois colleges and universities. And it's not so much that Illinois is losing population to other states, it's that we're not attracting people into Illinois because of all of the naysaying that's been going on in our state. And making sure we keep Illinois kids here, but also start to attract students from out of state to Illinois colleges once we've stabilized higher education is going to be critically important for our long-term vitality.
Yeah, because, I mean, we know the horror stories involving, you know, attendance of new students coming into places like SIU, Carbondale, Western Illinois, Eastern Illinois, all through that period of uncertainty caused by the budget impasse. And, I mean, people are looking for some certainty.
Without a doubt. Businesses, students, families, everyone wants certainty and predictability. That's what the state can offer when we do our jobs right.
In this ever unpredictable state, that's for sure. Democratic State Senator Don Harmon from Oak Park, the President Pro Tem of the Illinois State Senate, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be with you.